Okay, I would ask, you know, where it wasn't recorded, that the minister come forward with your opening remarks and introductions again.
Sure. Well, good morning, everybody. The next portion of estimates, as the committee is aware, we'll be discussing the Women's Policy Office. This office resides in Executive Council. And for the Women's Policy Office, we'll be discussing the appropriations that will be provided for policy development and research on issues that enhance the economic and social status of women and prevent violence against vulnerable populations in the province. Appropriations will also provide for support for Aboriginal women's issues, grants to equality-seeking organizations, including women's centers, regional coordinating committees against violence and Aboriginal organizations, and violence prevention and coordination and awareness activities within government and at the provincial and community levels. In addition, we will also be discussing the Provincial Advisory Council on the status of women and the appropriations of funding provided for the operations of the Provincial Advisory Council, which extends independent evaluation and advice to government on issues and policies relevant to women. I'd ask now that the officials who've joined me today introduce themselves.
Donna Ballard, Deputy Minister responsible for the Women's Policy Office.
Jennifer Tulk, Director of Communications.
Wanda Trickett, Departmental Controller.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We will now go to 2.7.01 and open up for questions.
Perhaps we would introduce ourselves, Randy, do you think, before the questions?
Okay. We could ask that the committee once
where
again
have we done it?
Introduce themselves.
Have we done that?
I think
well,
once we introduce.
My name is Jerry Rogers.
And I am the MHA and work for the great people of St. John's Center. And
Tracy Perry, Fortune Bay, Cape Mahoon.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
My first question is line 2.7.01 on salaries. In the revised budget for 2015-2016, there's an increased expenditure of $322,800. Can you tell us what that was for?
Sure. That reflects an overrun from 2015-16 budget due to severance costs.
Okay. So when you look then for the 2016-2017 estimates, we actually see a decline in the budgeted amount for the new fiscal year. So can you explain where that reduction in salaries is taking place and what's being eliminated here?
Sure. That reflects a decrease from the 15-16 budget related to line-by-line estimate review, and the deputy can provide some additional information for you.
Donna Ballard. Yes, there are two positions that won't be renewed for the coming year. There was a vacant communications analyst position that became vacant around December, which we're not going to renew that position. And also there is a temporary receptionist position, which is also being eliminated.
Okay, thank you. In terms of transportation and communication, we're seeing a decline there as well. Can you explain? Oh, sorry. The next line, transportation and communications, how were your savings achieved for the drop from 113.6 down to 98,100?
Those savings that you've pointed out reflect the savings from the 2015-16 budget. as it relates to discretionary spending savings. I'll ask the deputy if she can provide some examples of what was saved in that line item.
Transportation and communications generally, in terms of the travel budget, was probably somewhat overestimated. And when we look at what we're doing next year, the travel that's required, such as bringing together a third-party group, such as the Aboriginal groups and so forth, we just try and be frugal about how we do that. And also, we do training by doing train-to-trainers as opposed to doing a lot of in-person training and so forth. So we were able to reduce there. As you can see, going forward next year, we're going to continue with that.
Okay.
The other item I think would be appropriate to point out for the member opposite is that as the minister responsible for finance as well as the Women's Policy Office, we made a decision to strategically connect where feasible and practical travel related to responsibilities for finance with Women's Policy Office so that we could ensure that we had further savings.
Okay. Thank you. With respect to supplies, can you tell us what items are being cut in this line item?
Sure. First, the revised budget 2015-16 versus the original budget reflects items related to, as I said, discretionary spending. The actual budget down to $55,000 reflects the decreases that were achieved through line by line. Estimate review, and ask the deputy to provide a couple of highlights for the member opposite.
Basically, what we're doing there, when we look at what we really need, looking at it from a zero base go forward, we're just looking for $5,500 for basic office supplies. That's all we need in that area.
Okay, thank you. In professional services, the budget for 2015-2016 was $334,005. Going forward, it's $247,000. So can you explain what type of professional services are being eliminated?
The professional services that are being eliminated from the original budget, again, as I said earlier, these relate to changes in discretionary spending as well as line-by-line estimate review. Under the area of professional services, with the $247,000 that is budgeted for fiscal 16-17, that would include monies remaining for the Intimate Partner Violence Prevention Initiative, which is the joint province-wide enforcement effort between the RNC and the RCMP that the member opposite certainly would have been aware of from last year. It also still includes the IPV initiative. Police agencies will build on existing work and enhance responsiveness to the intimate partner violence work. And there's block funding in there to be used for things like cost shared services, launches, and integrating services.
Okay, and still in keeping with that same line, the revised forecast for 2015-2016 was close to $100,000 less than what was allocated. So can you explain why that happened?
Yes, it was Donna Ballard. So of the 247, the 244 is for the Intimate Partner Violence Prevention Unit that the minister spoke of, and then the others is just a little bit of flex for professional services. So what's being decreased in that area is specifically amounts of money that were going to be used for a large marketing campaign on violence prevention, so we've decided to go in a different direction with that.
Okay, so that explains the 2015-2016 revision or the going forward number of 247,000, because it looks like there was monies allocated there in 2015-16 for 334,005, only 236,000 was spent. So was there anything that didn't get done?
Yes, the marketing campaign.
Okay, that was.
Social media marketing campaign that the former administration wanted to spend money on. We made the decision that in these current times, that funding for a social media campaign was not something that we thought was prudent to support. And also, based on feedback that we were able to get from early early stage consultations on the violence prevention initiative that was launched in October, we were getting clear indications from community stakeholders that that may not be a place where they felt investment in social media or marketing may be best directed in these current times.
Okay. Under purchase services, what did you allocate $64,900 for?
Donna Ballard. There's 64. $15,000 of that we did leave in the Intimate Partner Violence Prevention Unit. Last year, if you look back from last year, there was actually $100,000 for purchase service specifically for that unit. But it was, again, for a campaign, and now they're going to do, as you know, the RNC are very, very inept at doing social media campaigns, so that's where they're going to concentrate. So $15,000 will be remain in that, in which you're going to concentrate on some Aboriginal training in Labrador. There is money for under the Violence Prevention Initiative for some training, and we have found that what we're hearing from the stakeholders is that the campaigns of the past, Respect Aging, those campaigns have been very robust in raising awareness. Now we have to look at action, and we have to look at doing some very specific training. So what we're doing is we're revising some of our violence prevention training, targeting at sort of, entry-level community base into the colleges, that sort of thing. Also we want to revise that. We want to bring that out. And we also want to be able to provide. We've gone into the community to see what other training is available from other groups, and we found that it's very robust. Canadian Red Cross have some very good training. Thrive have some very good training. So we want to bring that to our community partners to enhance the training out there. We also work, for example, with Women in Resource Development as well, and support them in training that they give, for example, in a Spaniards Bay situation out into municipalities and councils and that sort of thing.
Okay.
Okay, with our allocated time allocation to be agreed upon, I'll now go to the third party.
Thank you very much. It's Jerry Rogers, and also I'm accompanied by Susan Williams from our caucus as well, a researcher with our caucus. Thank you very much for all your hard work in this area, and we know that things are, in some ways, have improved in the status of women, in other ways they have become more and more difficult when we look at the wage gap for women, the fact that we do not have pay equity legislation, and that things are tough. And in the current fiscal situation, women may be hit harder with the fiscal situation. And so even more so, your work is so crucial in helping government realize what is happening to the women of the province. And so thank you very much for your great work. I would like to go back to the salaries on the Women's Policy Office. So we see a drop of $402,000. $402,000. And I don't quite understand. I know that you've said, and maybe I just missed it, two positions have been removed, the vacant comms analyst position that was vacant since December, and then a temporary receptionist position. So my question is, what other positions, what were the other adjustments to salary? And then also part of that, will there be another receptionist?
As I mentioned earlier, there's a $322,000 amount that reflects an overrun in the budget in the actual revised, and that relates to the majority of it relates to one individual. There was a deputy minister in the department that retired, and as a result, costs associated with that retirement are captured here.
Yep.
And disclosed.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, you asked a second question about Will the temporary receptionist be replaced? At this stage, that is my understanding, that is not the plan. The plan is to continue to put the work into the positions that are dealing directly one-on-one with the community organizations throughout the province. I don't know if the deputy wants to add anything else about the receptionist position.
Donna Ballard, yes, we're able to cover that that work through the other administrative staff that remain at the office.
Okay, and can we have a list of the staff that are in the office, the positions that are in the office now?
Yeah, I think you'll find that we currently have inside the Women's Policy Office. Did you want a list of them now? Because I can provide that now.
Sure. How many staff positions are there?
There are 6 positions.
There.
And,
okay.
Just 1 second now. Donna?
Okay. Donna Ballard. We have 9 staff, one who is funded through the Opening Doors program, and 8 staff.
Okay. I could get a list of that after, if you like, rather than going through it now, if that's okay.
Yep.
Okay, that would be great. Thank you. So we still see, though, a significant reduction in the salary line. So the staff overrun that we saw, we're still down about a significant amount from the budget of 2015-16 to 2016-17. So that would account then for the loss of those 2 positions?
The actual, it's the minister speaking. Just waiting for the light to go on. Sure, it'll be ready in a minute. Thank you. The salary line of $931. $931,700 in comparison to the $1,011,400 number reflects a decrease related to line-by-line estimate review of $79,700, and that relates to the positions that the deputy has spoke to already.
Okay, great. Thank you. And I have a little bit of confusion about the intimate partner program that's with the police. So the reduction from that's under professional services or under purchase services?
There's some in a variety of the line items. I can let the minister, the deputy minister,
okay,
speak to that.
And then also, would you be able to just explain to me how the money for that program was allocated? Was the money transferred over to the police from women's policy, and then, but so what's happening now then in light of that?
Okay, there's 2 line items that cover that to cover that unit. It's a joint RNC RCMP initiative across the province.
Mm-hmm.
The RNC Women's Policy Office in our salaries envelope have salary money for 2 constables and 1 analyst, and that's JV through the Department of Finance or Department of Justice. The $244,000 under professional services, that's the money that's allocated to the RCMP portion. RCMP portion is a different kind of funding arrangement as it is generally with the Department of Justice and the RNC. And again, that gets JV'd through the Department of Justice to the Women's Policy Office.
Okay. And so is that for salaries or is it for program delivery?
It's for, under the RNC, it's only for salaries. Under the RCMP, it's for, it's a proportionization. That's how we do our CMP. It's the same as the as how it's done for justice generally, which I can't really speak in any more detail about it, but it's more of a lump sum and proportionality, but it's also mostly salaries. They also have 2 constables and an analyst working on that program.
Okay.
And
so,
sorry, with permission, it's the minister speaking. Just waiting for the light. There it is. Just for the benefit of the member opposite, the what's being described for the member is not unique to Budget 16. This was the setup, the process, the you know, what was already in Budget 15, 16 from last year. Mm-hmm. The decision was made to carry that forward until we continue to look to assess how that funding is delivering the services to people in the province that need it. So just wanted to make sure that that was clear, that that was a it's a 15-16 budgeted item that's carried through to 16.
Okay, so just so I can be absolutely clear, so the money comes from Justice to Women's Policy and then to the RNC and the RCMP, or the other way around?
Donna Ballard. No, the money is in the Women's Policy Office envelope.
Yes.
It comes directly to the Women's Policy Office. And then we JV it back to Justice as the invoices come through, and it's paid that way.
What does JV mean?
It's a short term for what we refer to as a journal voucher. Okay. Which is an accounting transfer.
Okay, so it comes then from, it goes from Women's Policy Allocation to Justice and then to the RNC and RCMP.
I'd ask the controller for the department just to provide further clarity, because I believe the member opposite is correct, but I just want to make sure the controller has the opportunity to answer that question. Yeah.
Wanda Trickett. So as the Deputy Minister described, the budget is actually allocated in the Women's Policy Office.
Yes.
The expense incur
yes.
Through the RNC or the RCMP, respectively. And when those expenses incur, they will send an invoice over to the Women's Policy Office. They review those invoices and determine that the nature of the invoice is acceptable. And they will then take that cost back into the Women's Policy portfolio.
Can we, I would like to see a breakdown of the expenses that go, or the invoice from RNC and RCMP in terms of what exactly is the money used for.
We'd be happy to provide that to the member.
And can we have that from last year and this year, the anticipated contract for this year?
We can certainly, we can provide that, I believe we can. Mm-hmm.
Great. Thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah. I'd just like to ask if there's any questions from other government members outside of the Commerce Services Committee. Do they have any questions? Okay. We'll go back to the official opposition. From here on in, now the switch will be in every 10 minutes.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Minister, if we could get a copy of all this information that the MHA for St. John's Center is requesting as well.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I'm going to pick it up again on purchase services. And when we look to the 2015-2016 revised budget, the original allocation for that was $209,200. The actual expenditure was $57,400. So I was just wondering what was cut there.
Well, as the difference between the purchase services and the original budget reflects savings related to $50,000 for the Newfoundland and Labrador Stats Agency, which was not required, and as well as discretionary spending. So the Stats Agency did work for the Women's Policy Office, and they did not create an expense, and as a result, they absorbed inside their own area, the cost associated with the work that they did for the Women's Policy Office. So there was $50,000 budgeted for a survey, and that was completed through the Economic Stats Branch, and that's why that line item is reduced by $50,000.
Okay. Can we get a list of the specific discretionary items that were eliminated?
Donna Ballard. The other item there that was eliminated was, as I mentioned before, the Intimate Partner Violence Prevention Unit that we discussed had a budget of $100,000 as well for purchase services, which they didn't use. and that's been reduced for the year coming to $15,000.
Okay. Would it be possible to get a briefing, because it seems like there's some changes there, get a briefing for us on the new Intimate Partner Violence Program?
There's nothing new other than an extension of what happened last year, with the exception of the money that wasn't spent. But we can certainly provide more clarity for the member opposite if she'd like that.
Yes, I certainly would like a briefing with respect to the approach that you're now going to be taking, and how you look to achieve results, and I guess the new vision and approach you're going to be taking with it. I think that would be informative.
Happy to provide some information for you.
Okay, thank you so much. In Section 10, grants and subsidies, can you tell us specifically how you're achieving the decrease of $50,000?
The $50,000 under grants and subsidies from, so as the member opposite would be aware, this particular line item was originally budgeted in last year's budget at $2,541,100 and is budgeted in this year by $2,491,100. We made the decision through the line-by-line estimate review based on the past performance and based on the current financial situation that we faced in the province, that we would remove $50,000, and that reflects the decisions that were made through the line-by-line estimate review.
Okay. Can we get a list of, a written list of every grant that was awarded for 2015-2016, as well as a list for the upcoming year, 2016-2017, with respect to the types of grants that are going to be available to be applied to?
We can certainly provide the list of the grants that were provided as part of the 15-16, because those grants have been executed and provided to the community. On the 16-17 grants and subsidies, we can provide you the plan to date.
Yes. Thank you so much. Okay. I have another question now before I move into 2.702. Will the Women's Policy Office have a role in the Independent Appointments Commission and the PSC merit-based processes?
The Independent Appointments Commission that will be managed and supported, managed may be the wrong word, be supported by the Public Sector Commission might be the more accurate reflection of their role, will be supported by the Women's Policy Office in the context of the recruitment and the promotion of women's participation in the application process. And that's certainly something that we look forward to providing insight and feedback to the Public Service Commission. There have been conversations ongoing since the legislation was brought in and well before that to ensure that the Women's Policy Office has the visibility and the partnership with the Public Service Commission to be able to ensure that we have sufficient applications from women. And we know that we have to do things differently to make sure that women are participating, and look forward to doing that with the support of the Women's Policy Office.
Okay. Moving into 2.7.02, there's another cut here again of $50,000. So how will you be achieving this cut?
That is going to that change in the funding for the just for clarity, in the Provincial Advisory Council Status Women. I believe that's what the member opposite's asking about,
mm-hmm.
right? That
yes.
reflects a decrease from the that we related in line by line review. The Council's lease is up for renewal, I think 50% through the year, and we anticipate that as we look to a real estate asset management plan for across government, that we will be able to provide and work with the Provincial Advisory Council to find them space that would allow them to recover savings specifically related to their rent.
Okay. So in looking at overall the Women's Policy Office, the overall budget has a cost cutting measures of $402,500. How do you think this is going to impact overall your role in services for women?
Sorry, just for clarity, when the member opposite is referring to the $400,000, could she just point which line item she's referring to?
The revised budget of 2015-2016 figure and to the 2016-2017 estimates. There's a savings, there's a reduction of $402,500.
Are you looking at the
total?
The total.
Policy, sorry.
Just for clarity, that's the 4.235,500 compared to the 3.843,600. Is that what the member is referring to?
Yes, I'm looking at the 4,706,300. No, I'm looking at the 4,706,300 from last year, whereas this year the budget's down to 4,261,600.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking at the consolidated number. My apologies.
Yeah, and that is the total of the whole office. So I guess my question is, with $400,000 gone from your budget for Women's Policy Office, how confident do you feel that the women's issues are going to be addressed at least in an equivalent manner as they were in the past?
Well, as we've explained during the estimates discussion, the $400,000 that the member refers to on the opposite side is a combination of savings in rent inside the Provincial Advisory Council for the Status of Women. It's a savings on severance of in excess of about $320,000. So what I would suggest that savings on rent and savings on severance will not have a material effect on our ability to support the mandate of this department. I'd further suggest that based on the consultation that we have already begun and in the province on the violence prevention initiative, that the early days and the early learnings will allow us to be even more nimble and efficient in responding to the needs of those organizations on the front line.
So with respect then, like, to groups such as the Aboriginal Women's Group, the Violence Against Women Committees, with a reduction in travel, how are you going to compensate for the loss of networking abilities they will have?
Donna Ballard. If you look right now at the travel for 2016, the $98,100, which we've allotted, and what we did is we just looked at what we think that we need for the coming year. And one of the things, for example, that we spend a fair amount of money on travel is for the Aboriginal groups, for example. And we bring together a conference, and it's been very successful over the last years. The little bit change in direction on that one, for example, is that we have, is the women have come forward and want committees specific to particular issues of which they have identified. Funding, for example, violence prevention, mental health, those sorts of things. So this year, looking forward, we think the best use of our money there is to bring those groups together in smaller groups so that we can help provide support to them to start moving forward and to also help them with targeting some funding for the federal government. So that would be an example. Instead of having a big group get together, smaller groups get together. And also, you know, we're working with the learning and development entity here at government to see how much we can do in terms of training through the internet, for example, instead of necessarily having to bring people together a lot. So we're not really, we're reducing the travel, but the specific travel that we think, the targeted travel, is still going to be there.
Okay.
Okay, I'd just like to time the time allocation and turn it over to Ms. Rogers.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and I'm sorry I missed a bit of this. I was called out with an unexpected issue. So if I'm asking something that's already answered, please forgive me. But I want every bit of your brilliance. If we go back to Women's Policy Office, the grants and subsidies, there's a reduction of $31,300. Can you tell me what kinds of things would be affected by that?
So the actual reduction from last year's budget to this year's budget, just for clarity, is $15,000. The reduction from the projected revised is the 30 that the member opposite
yes.
mentions. And based on the review of the grants that have been paid in the past and used in the past, the feeling was that there was an opportunity for us to there's been grants in the past that haven't typically gotten out the door historically.
Mm-hmm.
And we felt that, you know, budgeting money that actually wasn't intended to get out the door was probably not, in light of the current fiscal situation, the best thing to do. It is our intention, certainly, to we can provide the member opposite the list of the grants that were paid in fiscal 15-16 for her review as well.
Great. Thank you very much. I find it curious because all the women centers who are getting grants are just hanging on by a thread in terms of they haven't had a 5% increase since 2011, that they are starving for money. Many of them are working at wages that are below what they should be getting. So how is it that grants that are available are not getting out the door? Why do you think that might be? Because I know that the need and the demand is beyond what is being allocated. For instance, the Multicultural Women's Organization gets $100,000, and they're dealing with multicultural women from all over the province. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to staff an office. They don't have a charitable number. So how could it be that there are grants available that aren't getting out the door?
Yeah, I can't speak to the former administration's process on grants. What I can speak to is our intention going forward. And part of our early announcement this year on the grants, such as operating grants, specifically operating grants, was that we needed to take a review of all of the grants that are going out to make sure that the right proportion of money is getting out to organizations that are providing critical services on the front line. And that will be something that we will be working on through the course of the summer.
And I guess my other question would be, if in fact you feel that there are grants that aren't getting out the door, and we know the situation, and I know, Minister, you are very familiar with the situation of the women's centres across the province, SHOP, the Multicultural Women's Organization, with a paltry $100,000, I would think that rather than cutting the amount of grants that are available, you would at least keep status quo. So what's the rationale for cutting if it's possible that the reason that not all the grants were spent was not because of the women's centers, but because somehow the system's not working?
The just for clarity, too, some of the issues related to getting the grants out of the doors is though that portion is related to needs-based grants, and there was this lack of applications that were coming into the department. I recognize what the member opposite has said with regards to the kind of global needs around supports for initiatives that are undertaken and supported by the Women's Policy Office. And certainly as we go forward this year, we'll continue to look to have dialogues with those organizations that on the operational side are being challenged.
So for the the $2,491,000 in grants and subsidies, is that where the money for operating grants for the women's centers, et cetera, come out of? Does it come out of that allocation?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
In addition to a portion that is related to needs-based grants as well.
Can you explain what that is, needs-based grants in this circumstance?
Donna Ballard.
So the grants, you're correct. So from that envelope with the grants, there is the Provincial Advisory Council, there are the Regional Coordinating Councils, there are the Women's Centres, there's the Transition House Association, Newfoundland and Labrador, Newfoundland and Labrador Sexual Assault Prevention Centre, Newfoundland Aboriginal Women's Network, and the Multicultural Association. And those envelopes are the same. They've turned over. They're all the same. Last year, and I can only speak to last year, there was also a portion of money that was what we called needs-based, so that if someone came in and applied for something specific. Oh, and sorry, there's also the Aboriginal grants, which are also separate, $200,000 for Aboriginal women, $30,000 for Aboriginal grants. Those have turned over as well, and we're going to go out for those. So all of those grants remain the same. There was a small portion, $50,000, that was in two needs-based grants. We were getting some pressure on those for things like conferences, perhaps, you know, buying tables at functions, those sorts of things. But we didn't use it last year. And then, as the minister said, there was a decision to not renew that particular grant envelope.
So I know that the women's centers from across the province have asked for a provincial conference. I know that the Multicultural Women's Organization have asked for funding equal to the women's centers across the province because of the specific work that they do, and again, they get only $100,000. Now, they asked to be put on par mm-hmm. with the other women's centers, which would then be $29,000. I could see that money being used out of $31,000. I know that the women's centers have asked for what they had traditionally got, a 5% increase. They haven't gotten that since 2011. So I would imagine that that is, rather than a cut, to at least use the money that was there. The work that they are doing incredible work with the very, very limited money that they have. So I cannot see how taking that money out because it wasn't used, there's a problem if there is such a great need and it's not being used, and then to take that out of the allocation, even for the Multicultural Women's Organization.
Well, and certainly, you know, the member is well known for her passion and her support of the of women's organizations, as I hope to be. And I would suggest to the member opposite that in the context of the $2.7 billion problem that we were faced with as a result of the budget work we were doing for 16-17, that our commitment to look at the grants that are being distributed to community organizations for operating costs and our commitment to have those conversations in dialogue with organizations is one that I take very seriously and one that we intend to do. We've committed to multi-year funding to provide those organizations with clarity. I'd also suggest that in the context of making sure that public money is spent in the most targeted and strategically located places, rushing without the consultation that this government needs with those entities is not something that I was prepared to do as a minister, and certainly we'll look forward to dialogue with those organizations over the coming months as we establish what the multi-year grants are going to be.
Well, thank you very much, Minister. I appreciate that. I also would like to say that I know that $31,000 in the realm of a 2.7 deficit seems so minimal, and yet $31,000 for an organization like the Multicultural Women's Organization means whether or not they can hire another person. That's how much that little bit of money
does mean as well retaining positions in the public sector.
So at this point, I assume then the request for the Multicultural Women's Organization to be increased to be at par with the other women's centers around the province.
I think the Multicultural Association, my understanding, would have had clarity on that The Women's Association would have had clarity on that several weeks ago. I mentioned to the member.
Okay.
They would have known the situation, and we would have communicated to them the circumstances going forward.
Okay, we'll go to the...
thank you.
To Ms. Perry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to echo MHA Rogers' comments. Certainly having spent some time with these groups, I can attest to the fact they're doing phenomenal work for very low amounts, and how they've survived thus far is actually quite astounding. They're incredible, and organizations like that, those, all of them certainly, but those which Nicole Carley works for, these are women in very stressful positions, and in terms of wage parity with equivalent positions or with male counterparts, they're certainly underpaid, and I think going forward we need to give a lot of consideration to correcting that, and they certainly they can do with $10,000 what you know some people can't do with $500,000. So it's quite incredible the work they do, and they certainly deserve accolades. And going forward, we need to keep an eye to being able to give them and more if we possibly can. I wanted to ask about what the plans are for the Family Violence Court moving forward in 2016-2017.
The court that the member opposite referred to, really, my understanding now resides with Justice, and certainly during the estimates for Justice, they could provide even more clarity on the status of those courts. And certainly, I will share anecdotally that from my conversations with stakeholders on the West Coast, as an example, that the work that's being done in Stephenville is certainly being seen as being very positive.
Okay, thank you for that. In terms of the elimination of the apprenticeship program for women, how do you anticipate being able to have a strong impact in ensuring that our women are continuing to enter non-traditional occupations?
I'm sorry.
Again, it's an AES budget, so this is more of a... philosophical question related to WPO, but with the apprenticeship program gone from AES, what measures will WPO be undertaking to ensure that employers in this province are still recruiting women and that women's opportunities are on par with men?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure of the that there isn't, this isn't the scholarship that the member opposite is talking about versus the actual funding. And I would suggest that maybe the committee that provides questions to the Department for Advanced Skills and Education, when they come in, might be best placed with them.
Okay. We will certainly relay that one there as well. And my final question I have relates to mental health and wellness initiatives. And given the austerity of this budget, I'm anticipating we're going to see quite a spike in mental health and wellness issues, and single mothers in particular are going to really be struggling. Will the Women's Policy Office be taking any extra measures to deal with the fallout in mental well-being of families in this province, particularly women?
I think the Women's Policy Office, as is clear in their mandate, has an accountability and responsibility from a policy perspective to overlay the lens as it relates to women's issues across not just the area of mental health and wellness in the province, but on all areas. And it is my expectation as minister that that's exactly what the Women's Policy Office will do, that they will... to quote a famous feminist, that they will lean into all discussions as it relates to providing a lens for women's issues, not just in this specific area that the member opposite mentioned, but in all areas. And as minister, we'll encourage them to continue to do that.
Okay, thank you, Minister. That wraps my questions.
Okay, Ms. Rogers.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I am wondering what is the situation of statistics around the status of women in the province in terms of updated statistics. When I go on the website for the Women's Policy Office, I see stats that reflect 2004, 2006. Oftentimes the stats aren't reflective specifically of the province, but they're gleaned from Federal Statistics Canada. So does the Women's Policy Office have a handle on the status of the women of Newfoundland and Labrador in terms of the profiles of violence, the level of poverty, the number of children and lone parent households that are headed by women, employment rates specifically around women? Do we have anything more recent than 2006 in terms of the statistic overall that really gives us a good picture of what's happening in the lives of the women of Newfoundland and Labrador?
Mm-hmm. While I haven't had a chance to read it in detail, the department does have access to a survey that was completed in 2015-16. Mm-hmm. This was a survey that was done by the Newfoundland and Labrador Stats Agency, and it was developed and implemented as part of the first ever violence prevention initiative. The survey design was finalized by the Newfoundland and Labrador Stats Agency in consultation with Stats Canada, and the data collection is currently taking place, so that information is currently being updated. It actually is the survey that I referenced earlier that the Economics and Stats Division is doing, as opposed to contracting out mm-hmm. on a public opinion survey. Mm-hmm. The Stats Agency is working on that information now.
And when can we expect the results? Do you have
I'll have to
idea?
Check with the Economics and Stats team and provide the answer to the member opposite once I have that information.
Okay.
There.
Thank you very much. I would also be interested in some of the numbers in terms of the issues that are reported in the annual report. It talks about, for instance, that you committed by March 2016 to collect more information about women in leadership roles. And is that kind of information available? If not, when will it be available? Was that work undertaken? I guess there's a number of issues here, like, for instance, around economic security. Do we have that information yet?
Are you speaking, for clarity for my purposes, the deputy may already be assuming the answer, but I just want to clarify. Okay. Are you speaking to the annual report that the department's responsible for providing here in the House?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'll ask the deputy to provide some insights for you.
And that was from the annual report of 14-15.
Right. As the minister indicated, I mean, that work is ongoing, and
okay.
We can provide you with what we have available.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. In regards of the Provincial Advisory Council on the Status of Women, how often did the advisory committee meet in 15-16?
I'm going to say quarterly because they usually do, but I would have to check their annual report.
Okay. And their term now, when is the next advisory committee going to be assigned?
Oh, the actual individuals who are on the board?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The advisory council, yeah.
They've recently been renewed for 3 years.
Recently.
We checked that. They've been recently renewed for 3-year terms.
Okay.
The renewal took place prior to November 30th.
Okay, thank you very much. And what is the process of appointing people to that council?
Under the new, as our government would hope, under the Independent Appointments Commission, it would be expected that the Provincial Advisory Council on the Status of Women is, I have to double check, are they tier 1 or tier 2?
Tier 2.
So the provincial, so the Public Service Commission would be responsible under the new legislation for supporting the appointments. So the current renewals on the council were completed prior to November 30th, and certainly I've had the pleasure of meeting with the new directors recently as part of their quarterly meeting, and certainly I know they have their work the work plan established and are working hard on the mandate of the council.
Okay, thank you very much. And I guess we've asked for a list of the grants and subsidies that were allocated last year. And then can we have a list of applications for this year?
I can provide you a list of the of where we are so far year to date on you know, the three separate amounts of money that represent that that full line item. We can certainly provide you with where we are year to date.
Okay. And then the applications for last year, did they supersede the amount of money that was available to be allocated, aside from this 50,000 needs-based?
Donna Ballard?
The applications, most of the, I described earlier, who we fund, I guess they're rollover. Sometimes they come in and ask for a little more, but generally the amount is stagnant. It's the Aboriginal grants that are specific to applications.
Mm-hmm.
So those were recently announced for last year, so we can provide you with the applicants there.
Okay. Thank you very much. And I don't believe I have anything else except for the new violence prevention action plan, and that would be the violence prevention initiative. So do you feel that at this point the finances that are needed in order to operationalize this and fulfill the recommendations and commitments are in place?
Donna Ballard. Yes. With the Violence Prevention Initiative, as you know, there's 67 particular recommendations, which are very broad under the four pillars. What we've been doing over the last couple of months since I took on my position, which was just after the announcement as the minister came on, is we're going back out into community. We've had a number of consultations already in Labrador and the West Coast. We have consultations planned for Central and St. John's. And what we're looking to do is focus on the areas where we think that we need to put in our efforts. And so far, you know, what we're looking at is things like training, which I described earlier, things like how do we get into the schools, for example. So as you may know, restorative justice is taking hold in the schools, and so we're working with that particular organization, which is where we want to go. Social media, training, those sorts of things. So I think what we're doing now is we're going back out into community, and what we're going to be doing is a review of community grants, which the minister has described, that's happening across the board, but with the community grants that we represent. We're going to be going out over the next months and talking to community organizations on the ground in terms of how we can best help them with the limited funds that we have to deliver the programs that we need. So I think there needs to be some more coordination within government in terms of in departments and so forth to ensure that the right services are delivered, and also coordination among the groups themselves. You may find areas, for example, where you have funding for two or three groups that may be providing same services. Is there a way we can consolidate that? Is there a way that we can bring groups together? So that's our focus. So right now, in the budget, we have left some heavy money in the travel so that we're able to complete that, mm-hmm. and we're looking at and we've left some money in our training so that we can pull that together. So that's going to be our focus over the next year. So I think we're set to do that for this year coming.
So Donna, for that work in terms of looking at, are there duplication of services? Is there some consolidation that can be done? There is the advisory council for the Provincial Advisory Council on the Status of Women. Where does the advice come to Women's Policy Office from the community? How does that happen for any of those kinds of decisions?
So the when we started in December looking at, I can't speak prior to November the 30th,
yes, I understand.
But in December when we started to look at
the feedback that we were being provided by the community on the Violence Prevention Initiative as it was launched in October. The consensus was that for a number of reasons, including the fact that some of the material and data that was used to create the plan was driven from information as far back as 2012, 2013, that it made sense for the very first organizations and people for us to talk to would be those people working on the front lines. That's why early this year we met with stakeholders in Happy Valley Goose Bay. And why? Well, when I say we, myself and the deputy have met, we've met with Aboriginal leaders. We've also met with stakeholders on the West Coast and with the understanding of saying, here is the plan, what are the parts of it that are working and not working, and how can we rapidly adjust to reflect what the needs of people on the ground are saying. And as the minister has given some examples, what has been a consistent theme is that there needs to be a coordinated effort across departments, and that some of the community organizations are finding it's hard to do the work when they have multiple departments that are not necessarily aligned. So when I go back to my comments about the mandate of the Women's Policy Office, I would suggest that, you know, in addition to, you know, policy lens, there's a very strong accountability for breaking down perceived or real barriers that are disadvantaging community groups from getting the information and the access to changes that they need to do the work on the front line.
Okay, thank you. I have two questions.
Okay, the chair would like to point out at this time that the member for Frogwell and Cape Friels, Mr. Larry Baig, is substituting for the member for Bonavista, Mr. Neil King, and come back. I understand Ms. Perry has another question.
I just wanted to ask if I could get a copy as well of the survey information that MHA Rogers has requested. Thank you.
The survey, just for clarity, survey is not complete yet, so just wanted to make sure that everybody understands that it's ongoing. And when it's complete, we'll certainly provide the feedback.
Thank you. Two quick questions. I was out of the room, so I may have missed this. So do I understand that the Provincial Advisory Council on the Status of Women is moving out of their current offices?
We have asked them to look at ways of reducing their operating costs,
yes,
not related to their salaries.
Yes. Yes.
And we're going to support them to look to relocate, to look to achieve savings on their rent. Government has huge access to a lot of real estate and a lot of rental space, and we're going to do what we can to provide them support so they can do some savings. We want to spend money on services, not on real estate.
Okay. And my second question is that we know how important the role of the Women's Policy Office is in gender-based analysis and applying that lens to all legislation and policy. How has that been working?
Do you want to? I'll let the deputy go first.
I think that in all areas of gender analysis and that we've been successful, but we need to continue to work on that, and it's one of the priorities that I have in my office is to ensure that there's more input on the ground level in terms of educating people from the policy level up on gender-based analysis. But certainly we are very involved in the review of cabinet papers, for example, and I've been very successful over the last 4 or 5 months with the minister's support to ensure that we have been working very closely with departments on gender-based analysis. As the minister had indicated earlier, for example, on the Independence Appointments Commission, we were in on the ground early on that one and have had continuous discussions. We are a part of the committee that's looking at the review and the revitalization of the harassment and discrimination-free policy, for example. So we're working horizontally with departments and also understanding that we need to target some more education at the policy level as well.
And I guess what I would like to know is what is the policy for the gender-based analysis? Rather than women's policy having to chase everything and everyone down, is there a requisite, in fact, when policy and legislation or regulations are being reviewed, that there is an automatic communication with Women's Policy Office?
There is an expectation and a responsibility to all departments, agencies, boards, and commissions, particularly as they support legislative changes, that women's policy must be included. And that is...
How are you going to enforce that? Because I'm not so sure it has been.
We continue to follow up on a regular basis. And as the deputy has said, I think as a minister, as any minister would and should, take the responsibility very seriously and ensure that that mandate is fulfilled.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the time and for your wonderful work. Thank you.
Okay. Any more questions? Shall I call for seconds?
2.7.01.
Shall 2.7.01 carry? All those in favor?
Aye.
Carried.
2.7.02.
Shall carry? Carried. Okay, we're going to take a short break again. And when we resume, it will be Human Resources Secretariat.